Be seated. Thank you for being here with us tonight. So glad that you're here. As I said during the prayer, Matt and Julie Beamer are here. They are missionaries to the world. And if you'll turn your attention to the screens, we have an introductory video we'd like to show you. God bless you.
Too old, too shy, too bold, too average to make a difference. The world's too too small. If you try to fly, you're gonna fall. They're shouting, but we won't leave.
right. Good to be with you tonight. It's woohoo, a little hot on the mic, but we're excited. It's a good night to be with you, and a lot has happened since the last time we're here. And in fact, there's something that's happened in our family. We've had a wedding with our eldest son.
Yes, we have.
You all right? There we go.
Coming. There it is. Oh, it's nice to be here with you tonight. Yes, we've had a lot of changes. It's been about 25 years since we've been coming to Abiding Word. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
So these children weren't even alive whenever we started coming here many, many years ago. Our son is in the military, and he is stationed in Vicenza, Italy, him and his wife. And so we love the military. We're just so proud of him being in the Army. Our daughter is in Australia. And so she is going to Hillsong, Australia, going to study about worship and media there in Australia. So lots changed in the last 25 years.
Sure has. You've been a part of the journey. And in fact, tonight, what we want to talk about is what you've been a part of, and then also talk about how you, right here in Sterling, Illinois, how you relate to God's big picture and His plan in the earth. Just as Pastor mentioned, I believe, and as he prayed, I believe that as we go through this journey this evening, not only are you going to be blessed about what you have been doing, but you're also going to be blessed about the opportunities that are in front of you and how you, right here, and doing your part in the local church right here, how you can change the world. And you are already doing it.
We're called Club 1040, and so we always like to draw your attention to Club. Club is a group of like-minded people that are going for one purpose, and our purpose is the 1040 window. How many of you have ever heard that term before, the 1040 window? If you see that orange stripe right across that area of the world, missiologists have taken this area on the 10th parallel and the 40th parallel, and they've boxed this in. And this area of the world is where the least reached people groups are. Many people have never even heard about Jesus in this area called the 1040 window. And I always like to say, what is a window for? The window lets the light in, doesn't it? And so we pray for this area of the world to say, thank you, Father. The light is coming through, and we're able to make a difference in this part of the world.
Yeah, so as we go through this evening, we're really talking about what you're a part of. And as we look ahead, I want you to know a little bit about what Club 1040 is so you know more about what you're a part of. In six words, our mandate is we are a relational missionary movement reaching the unreached. In fact, we like to say this, everything God does, He does in the earth through relationships. You in relationship with your church here, and as you come into relationship with the church, then God can do what He wants to do here at Abiding Word Church. And then you in relationship with Club 1040 and other missionaries that you support, God is able to do His plan through them as well. We do that three ways.
Yes, the first way is through training leaders. And many of you are familiar with Rhema, Rhema Bible Training Center. This is where we've met your pastors many, many, many years ago. And we are the directors for Rhema Egypt, Rhema Nigeria, and we're getting ready to start Rhema Lebanon. And we also helped to start Rhema UK and Ireland. So those have been the areas of the world where we have helped to train leaders at.
The second thing that you're a part of through Club 1040 is, and what I mean by that is as you give in the offerings every Sunday, a portion of that goes to missionaries like Club 1040. And as you give in the offering, then a part of that is going to help train leaders, as she just said, and then also to help mobilize missionaries. We, Club 1040, provides missionary services for free to those missionaries who are in relationship with us. Our goal is to mobilize 1,000 missionaries by the year 2020. We've already seen over 600 people mobilized towards a missionary experience, and there's a team coming even from this church Woo-hoo! In a few short weeks.
Yes, Jada and Pastor Terry are coming over to be part Woo-hoo! Of Go Team Nigeria.
Yes.
We were doing a briefing this morning and getting them ready so that they can go and be a powerful team. I'm so excited. We're going to go into rescue centers. We're going to go into orphanages. We're going to go into places that are really helping people. I'm so excited. And then they also get to see what's happening with Rhema Nigeria there, which is exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to you getting behind them and sending them to us. It's going to be exciting.
And our third aim is inspire the church. So we get to do that in services like this. But also, Julie has some awesome tools that we'll talk about in just a minute. So the three things we do are train leaders, mobilize missionaries, and inspire the church that we can fulfill the Great Commission in this generation. And I believe we can do that as we work together. Well, I want just a few highlights of what you've been a part of over the last year as we share some of the areas that were operational. And we can't talk about all of them tonight. Maybe I'll talk about some different ones tomorrow. But Iraq, Lebanon, Egypt, and Nigeria. And we're going to go ahead and start in Nigeria. In Nigeria, you've been a part of training over 1,300 plus Bible school students across Africa and the Middle East, representing more than 600 churches. And so just in Nigeria alone, that's the equivalent of more than 150,000 people every week that you influence through the Bible school students. Did you realize you were actually having that much fruit? Every week through the students, you're influencing over 150,000 people in live services. That doesn't count literally the millions of people who are touched through the media outreaches of the students who you are training through your part of being a part of the church and through your support of Club 1040. And here's the three cities that we're operational in. There's four campuses in the three cities. Kaduna is in the north. Abuja is where we live right now, and we're now transitioning from Abuja to Lebanon. And then Port Harcourt is our campus in the south. This is a image that National Geographic produced. The bigger the bubble is where the greatest number of unfortunate deaths have occurred at the hands of Boko Haram, which is the extremist Islamic group in that part of the world. But God is increasing the leadership training in the face of the challenges of extremist Islam. And you can see here, this is a recent picture of our campus in Abuja. And you can see, it's hard to see, but these people are standing up in the back of the room. And every seat is filled. You can kind of see that over here if you're looking at this picture. The reality is we're just right now moving into another building project or building phase because we've outgrown. This is an example of what's happening in every one of the campuses that we have. These people will be standing. Of course, they switch out. They don't all stand this long. But to have people standing, our classes are 4 hours in one go. And on Saturdays, they're 8 hours. So it's 12 hours on a weekend. So that's a long time to be standing. How many of you like to stand in church that long?
I'm so dedicated. You guys are going to get to see that.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful campus in Kaduna. In fact, we're going to get to go up there and be part of a graduation service. So I'm excited for your group to come and see this. But if you'll see the people in the red, there are graduates from our school last graduation. But we had a really interesting story. There was a pastor that invited us to come and hold our graduation service in his church. And you can see the church there. And as we came in to greet him and to meet him, he said, "Do you see that mango tree outside?" And we said, "Yeah." And he said, "I was held up in that mango tree for 3 days and nights." And we said, "Why?" And he said, "A few years ago, there was quite an uprising here, and it was between Muslims and Christians, and they said that the Muslims had a bounty on every head of a pastor." And he said, "I hid up in that tree so that I wouldn't be caught." And so
literally, to cut the head off a pastor, bring it to the Islamic leader, and they would get equivalent of $300 US, a month's wage.
And he laughed. He was like, "Do you see that mango tree?" We're like, "Oh my goodness." So
yeah, so the context in which these people are working is absolutely amazing, and yet they do it with such joy. And we're coming alongside and helping them. The language group of Boko Haram, that extremist Muslim group, we've just launched this year, a few months ago, a new campus in their language. As far as we know, it's the only Bible school campus that's connected to a global network that has in that language group. We've translated the books and had to do all the work to be able to launch that. So that is exciting. We have more than 80 people that are attending that one campus, and some people come as many as 16 hours to attend, you know, coming through difficult roads in through where there's bandits and people that can rob them and all that sort of thing, just to be trained. And there's a number of former Muslims that are a part of that student body as well. Here's a graduation in Abuja. And here is, if you remember, the Bring Our Girls Back campaign. These girls are Christian girls that were forced into Islamic tradition by that group, Boko Haram. And at the same time that was happening, and then now, thankfully, there's 270 that were taken and forced into Islam, marriage and worship. But then about 100 of them or so have been released so far. But at the same time that was happening, we were my wife Julie and the team were doing a Rhema Kids Bible Training Center and a children's outreach in the same northern area, general region, where that same thing was happening. So where the enemy is trying to steal Christian girls, we're training Christian young children to be leaders to change that nation. That's something that you're doing. Our aim is to see 100,000 children trained through Rhema Kids over the next several years. And we already are now through the things that, like, even that your pastors are going to be a part of as they go. There's training and different things that we do. We see now thousands of children that are being trained in their churches in new ways that they weren't every single week. That they weren't trained like before.
In fact, we're going to hold a teacher's training, and Pastor Terry and Jade are going to help me to teach and hold this. And these teachers represent thousands of churches and thousands of children. And so we're going to be in there teaching and training them and speaking to them. And if you can just imagine what church, children's church was like maybe 30 years ago, that's where they're at. So we're going to really be able to make a difference. So I'm really looking forward to having them come and do that teacher's training. So it's very exciting what they're going to be part of.
So quickly, let's go from Nigeria to Egypt. Egypt's in the middle of a revival amongst the young people as well. God is doing an amazing work there. They say the biggest challenge to Islam in Egypt right now is that they passed a new law allowing people to, for the first time, be non-religious. That may not sound like a very big deal to us as Christians, non-religious. That doesn't sound like a victory. But to go from Islam to Christianity is apostasy and worthy of death. But to now they can legally go from Islam to non-religious. And to go from non-religious to Christianity, that's not as big a deal. And so there's been about 8 million people that have switched from Islam to non-religious over the last few years. The cool thing is, and the amazing thing is if you think about that in relation to the fact that there's only about 1 million born-again Christians out of about 90-some million people in Egypt, only 1 million born-again Christians. So think about that. If there's 8 million non-religious now, think about how easy it is to double the number of born-again Christians or triple the number of born-again Christians. And so the biggest challenge we have right now is training those new Christians that are coming to the Lord all the time. And we have now translated about 25 books or so, mostly Kenneth Hagin's books, but other books as well. We have 75,000 books in distribution, and 100,000 new books have just been printed. One of we've gone through and recently done the different Reverend Tony Cook books. So if you're familiar with In Search of Timothy, that's the Arabic word right there, Timotheus. This is Qualified. This is Life After Death. This is Grace, the DNA of God. All those books are super important. There's nothing like those books in the Arab Christian world. And when I say they're coming from Egypt, they don't stay in Egypt. They go throughout all the Arabic-speaking world, all throughout Arab North Africa and the Middle East. You are being a part of making that happen. Also involved in Erbil in northern Iraq and then Lebanon and I'm going to go ahead and just kind of move through these. I just want you to know that there's churches that are being planted. There's a couple there called Grady and Becky Pickett. They're missionaries based originally from Michigan. These are some of our Rhema, our Club 1040 and then missionary interns. We provide missionary experiences for Rhema School of World Missions interns every single year, and we get them equipped to go over and help them. But they planted this church, so our team went in and helped get this place ready, and then this is actually a church service in northern Iraq that that missionary family is doing. And we, well, that's one of the things we do is we look for missionaries that we can help. And then so they don't feel like they have to be by themselves in the middle of northern Iraq. But we can come alongside and strengthen them. What do you need? And help to provide resources for them. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we're moving into Lebanon. And I'll talk more about this tomorrow morning. But Lebanon, all those dots, that you see there are actually, they represent not just one, but they represent hundreds, even thousands. The bigger the dots, they represent thousands and thousands of refugees that have fled from ISIS or the war in Syria into the country of Lebanon. And this is a little bit of an older slide, so it stops over just over 1.5 million or so. But actually, there's been more than 2 million refugees enter the country. And in Lebanon, they can actually be born again. It's free to be born again in Lebanon. Where in Syria, they could not. So think about it. They're coming from the place where ISIS and all that stuff is happening. They're coming from a place where they can't receive Christ into a country where there's freedom to receive Christ. And now, they're just in the last couple of weeks, they've been starting to go back little by little into their country. Things are partly because of the new U.S. government that we have really getting behind things in the right way. Things are beginning to be quashed. And as that happens, then these refugees are going back. And there's literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them that you've been able to help hear the Bible in their very own language. And here's a little video clip of something that just happened last week. And I want, so it's fresh off the press, outreach of taking our team in Lebanon, mobilizing Lebanese Christians to the very border where ISIS is and Syrian war is to do an outreach in a place where they don't have any Christian witness.
Hey, Club 1040 partners, I'm standing at the border of Syria. We're outside of a church that had been closed because there was no pastor. But because of what you have done, partners, you made it possible for us to minister to 80 families. I'm here with my friend Amr, and he just shared his testimony with these people. And we just want you to know that the outreach and the ministry that's happening here, preaching the gospel to people that have never heard it before, it's because of you. It's because of what you have done. You're a part of this, and the fruit of it goes to your account, and we want to say thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
How do I say thank you?
That little device that you told me. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So, go ahead.
We go into these areas and we not only provide, you know, preaching of the gospel, but we provide food, we provide aid for them, but we also provide these little things called solar-powered Bibles. And as you can see, there's solar on this side, and I'm letting it go so you can hear. They're in their own language, the Bible, and there's Christian messages on this. And so they say that how many people gather around this?
So far we've brought in, this is just last year, 3,500, but since then probably another 500 to 1,000 more have entered the country of Lebanon and Syria and Iraq. And so they say about 144 people listened to each one of those solar Bibles within 2 years. They did research on this. That's what they found. They stopped counting after that. And yet these devices last for a long time. They don't run out of batteries, of course. And so just if you multiply 3,500 times 144, you get over 500,000 people that are hearing the Bible in their own language. These people do not read very much, but they listen. They're more oral learners. And they're in their refugee tents. It's not just one person in their bedroom. It's they turn this on and let it play, and they'll just all be listening to it all the time. And it never runs out of batteries. So think about what's happening in that part of the world right now. And again, you're a part of that. This is another example of these Muslims. Those pictures in that video, all those people in that church would have been Muslim. Every single one of them, whether they're dressed in Muslim garb or not, every single one of them. And you are helping to touch those people.
God gave me an idea. I take in teams of women, and it's called Beautiful 1040. In fact, we're getting ready to go back to these same places June 2018. But when we went into the Syrian refugee camps, we took in little manicure bags, and we thought, how could we just minister to these women? And it was a God idea. But what we did is we set them across from us, and we gave them all manicures. How many women? Women all over the world like a manicure, no matter who you are. These women live in refugee camps. Many of them have lived there for 5 years. It's incredible to go. When we first arrived, they were like very, you know, their faces were stern. They didn't know what was going on. But after we did this, we grabbed their hands after we manicured their hands and just loved on them. And we asked them, we said, can we pray for you in the name of Jesus? And the moment we would ask them that, they would just break down weeping, every single one of them. It was incredible. After this, they invited us back to their homes, their refugee camps. You'll see they're all holding up their nails. They all wanted red nail polish. Something about red nail polish is great all over the world. But they invited us back to their refugee camps, and we were able to go in their houses and see how they live. It was an incredible opportunity. It was just amazing. We also minister to pastors, wives, and leaders, and we're getting ready to do another conference for pastors, wives, and leaders. There was about 50 churches that were represented here in this group of Lebanese pastors, wives, and leaders. And so we bring them away, and we give them a hotel weekend, and we strengthen them because many of these pastors' wives are ministering to these refugees. And so it's exciting to come together and get to minister to them.
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, that one of the things we have a goal to do is to mobilize or inspire the church, and that includes children. So why don't you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, I'll quickly tell you about this, but I have 3 books. I have 10 altogether, but 3 are actually printed. And my heart is to get children to see God's dream. And God wants every person to be born again. And so what I've done is just taken snapshots from the countries that we work in, and we, Matt and Lizzie and Bentley, they go into the different countries, and they're always on a mission, but they learn about the country, they learn the language, they learn about the food, they learn what it's like to go into different countries. They have travel tips, and there's questions and answers in the back. There's lots of projects, so people have been using them for homeschool. And it also teaches your children how to tell others about Jesus. So I always like to say, grandparents, teachers, parents, get some of these for your children. It gives you an opportunity to have a dialogue with your child and talk about how you can give to others. We want our children being global leaders, don't we? We want them to learn these things so that God will give them a heart for the world. And so I have 3 different countries, Nigeria, England, and Egypt, on the back table, along with Bentley. So please bring your kids back there, and if you want to buy some, they're $10 a piece. And I believe your children, God will do something in their heart through the illustrations. All of them are actual factual. That's educational as well as inspirational for your neighbors, for your vacation Bible schools. One lady is distributing them in the hospital to every one of her ER people. And so it's kind of exciting to see where God is putting these books. So come back and see me at the back table. And also there's some Lebanon brochures, and come back and talk to us at the back. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to Matt and let you go.
Thank you, sweetheart. And yes, give her a hand. As she's taking a seat, people often ask us, how can they help the most? The reality is the culture that we have in America or in England or different places is that people love to give towards projects. But as pastors will tell you as well, that in addition to projects, the most important thing is you being faithful to your local church with your tithes and offerings, because that allows the regular operational work of this church to be fulfilling what God's called this church to do. It's the same as a mission organization that doesn't have a church. And one of the things that we've set as a goal is a challenge. We call it the 1040 Challenge, 1,040 people giving $10 to $40 a month. You can take out your phone right now, and you can even text that number, 41444. You text the number 1040 to the number 41444. And if you did that, you'll get this little response text you can see there. And that response text, if you click on that little link there, and you can fill out, put your debit card in there. It doesn't bill your cell phone, it bills your debit card, and then you can choose if you want to give a dollar a month or if you want to give a one-time or a quarterly or annually or $10 to $40 as we are believing for. We've had about 300 and some people or families connect in some level at that rate, and we're believing for a full 1,040, because what we know is when that happens, then Julie and I can relocate from Nigeria to Lebanon. Our goal is to see, we already have it set, our Lebanese, that person you saw in the video was our team leader for Lebanon. They're already there. We already have a headquarters, and God's raised the resource for the project money, but in addition to that, all the stuff that we do. So, and as you give, you're a part of everything that you do that way. Plus, I want you to know, if you don't give in a regular monthly partnership, you, as you give in your tithes and offerings, you are already a part of what Club 1040 is doing. So we appreciate you and appreciate what you are a part of. Now, I'm just going to take a couple minutes. I only have a few minutes left, but I want to challenge you. That's a part of what you're about and what you're doing through Club 1040. And let me tell you, we have given you a small sliver. There's so much more that you are a part of. And I want you to know that when you get to heaven, there will be people that will come up and say, you don't know me, but because you were a part of Abiding Word Church, and because you served in the sound booth area, or because you helped with the children's area, or you helped doing that great training for children to learn how to use their finances and resources, that you have actually made it possible for people like Matt and Julie and Club 1040 to go around the world. And because of that, there was someone they trained as a Bible school leader. And because of that, then someone started a church in a place there wasn't any church. And because of that, I heard the gospel. See, what you do here has a ripple effect that goes around the world through ministries like what Club 1040 is doing and all the other amazing ministries that you and your church are a part of. So I say you on behalf of all those ministries, thank you for doing what you are already doing. We appreciate it. And as you do it in the future, do it knowing that as you serve here in your various areas of service, which I was very impressed with all the people from the ushers to the every different area. I was impressed with all the service in this church. And as you do that, know that you're doing it not just for meeting the needs of a service, but you're actually helping to mobilize and helping to fulfill God's dream of reaching the world. So that's what I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to do it in a very quick and very brief way. So grab a hold and hold on. This is the world that we live in today. This is a map that shows the progress of the gospel up till now. The cool thing about this map is just 40 years ago or so, or when, 30 years ago or so, when your pastors were graduating from Bible school even, this map looked very different. So let me tell you quickly about the map. The red represents the least reached or unreached areas, and the green represents the growing church, the yellow's in between. And you know that a growing church, a church that grows at a rate faster than the population growth and is well established, it can actually cease to grow if we're not careful. That's what we have to be careful of in the U.S. We have to be careful that we don't allow the church to cease growing. And because if that happens, then like in what happened in Europe, then the growing church can go backwards into a nominal church. And eventually there can be places where there were growing churches, but now there is red or unreached areas. The other side of that is the yellow represents if an area is starting to be introduced to the gospel, and then it's moving from being introduced to the gospel to a place where it's an emerging church and it's moving towards that growing place. But 35 years ago, 40 years ago, Central and South America looked very different on that map. If you talk to some of the first graduates of Raymond Bible Training Center when they went from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they drove in their cars with, you know, believing God all the way down into places like Peru and Colombia and Guatemala and these different places in Central and South America, that was illegal to preach the gospel in many of those places. But now some of the biggest churches in the world are in those places. The Rhema in Brazil has 100 campuses, 10,000 students, and we are actually helping to partner Brazilian Rhema graduates to go to Lebanon because there's a special relationship between Brazil and Lebanon. It's a big project that we're doing, one of the main things that we're doing with Lebanon. So what about this red area here? Well, first of all, let's look at Africa. Africa, about 200 years ago, Africa was mainly only reached on the coast. And then there was a movement to go called the Inland African Mission Movement. And then they went more from the coast inland. But now some of the biggest churches in the world are now in this part of sub-Saharan and southern Africa. Another example is China. In the early 70s, there was a delegation sent from the United Kingdom to China, and they went on purpose to see if they could find any born-again Christians. They could not find one born-again Christian. But now there's hundreds of millions of born-again, hundreds of millions of born-again Christians. I spoke to a guy named Terry Law, a missionary statesman. He had five people that he was talking to, five Chinese house church leaders. He just casually asked them, by the way, how many people do you represent by your five church movements? They said, they counted and they talked amongst themselves. They said, the spokesperson sort of spoke up. He says, somewhere around 10 million people, give or take a million. Those are pretty big churches. So people that study the church now say the top 10 largest churches in the world are house church movements in China. So my point is showing you that is this, is 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, that map was very different. And now we're living in a time where this is an area of the world that can reach and hear the gospel very quickly. And we've told you about all the progress that has been happening just through Club 1040, and we're one small group. That map that I just showed you is made up of little dots, colored dots. And this is a little bit more accurate representation of that same map, in that each one of those dots represents a people group. You can see on here it says there's 16,500 people groups in the world. But look, it says unreached groups, 6,600 unreached groups. That's around 3 billion people, or 40%+ of the world's population is considered unreached. In other words, they may have had preachers go in and out, but there's not an indigenous church like this one. There's not a church from that people group that can be self-sustaining without any outside help. There's around 40% of the people in the world that are in a situation like that. So what does that mean for me, and how can I help God build his dream? By the way, this is a website called joshuaproject.net, and if you're interested in finding out more information, it's a great resource, joshuaproject.net, not .com, but .net. And if you look on there, you can click on any different parts of the world, and it will show you different information. There's an unreached people group of the day that it has for us to be praying into. I mean, for example, this one right here is the Java Besar Kulon of Indonesia. There's almost 5 billion people in that one group, and they're considered unreached people groups. One of the top unreached people groups. And there's many, many groups with millions and millions of people like that. So what are we doing? And here's what I want to talk about. God has a dream. What is his dream? God's dream is that not anyone would perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. In fact, here, this is the verse I'll leave you with. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, 11, and 12. Verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. What promise is he talking about? The promise to return. As some understand slowness. He says, instead, he's patient with you. Who is the you think? Who is the you, do you think, that he's speaking of? The church. In the first part of that chapter, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the first part of the chapter, he says, beloved. He's writing to the church. He's writing to saints. And so here he says, he's patient with you. Who's patient with us? God is patient with us, the church. He says, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so he says, if that's the case, then what kind of people should we be? Well, we know church is about being living right. Yes, he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. But look at verse 12. He says, as you look forward to and the day of God and speed its coming. That Greek word for speed is very interesting. I'm not a Greek expert, but it looks like, if I sound it out in sort of a literal way, it looks like spiedo. And what does that remind you of? Speed, yes. And does it kind of remind you, if I say Olympics and spiedo, what does it remind you of? Speedo, those little bathing suits that no man should wear unless you're an Olympian, right? And even then, I'm not sure. So that's a... the reason those guys, in fact, they even shave the hair off their body. Think about that. Why do they wear those suits, and why do they do that? What's the reason? Someone help me. So they can go faster, but why do they go faster? They're aerodynamic, or another way to say it is, it removes the drag. And that's what that Greek word, that's the visual I want you to have, because that's what that Greek word is really saying. Live in such a way that you live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of coming, and that you remove the drag off of the return of Jesus. Remove the drag off of the return of Jesus. And so that always reminds me of that verse of Scripture. One time I was in Schiphol Airport in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. And, you know, and different languages are very interesting to me. The different languages have the culture in them. And being Dutch in the Netherlands, they're very German. And I'm from a German background, so I can say this about us. But very efficient. And so one of the things that I think is interesting is when it goes from Dutch to English, you can see that efficiency in the way it's translated. So I'm in the airport, and as I'm listening over the loudspeaker, I hear this. It says, and thankfully it wasn't talking about me. It says, "Mr. So-and-so, you are delaying the plane." I was like, well, thank goodness that wasn't me. You know, in the U.S. it might say, you know, your plane is beginning to, you know, last call, that kind of a thing. And it's time, your plane is leaving. And if you don't hurry to the gate, you know, they say something like that. In England, they use about 10 words to say three words. They say something like, you know, Mr. So-and-so, would you kindly make your way to such and such a gate? Your plane is beginning to disembark, or something like that in England. But in this German translation to English, Germanic translation to English, it's like, "Mr. So-and-so, you are delaying the plane." And I was meditating on this verse at the time, and I remember thinking, wouldn't it be absolutely hilarious if there was an archangel in heaven that every so often would just bellow out into the earth? And we know it's possible because, you know, Jesus himself, everybody heard God say, "This is my son in whom I well please." So we know it's possible for that voice from heaven to comment on, you know, how we live in the earth. But it wouldn't be great if it actually did happen, or maybe scary, I don't know, where every once in a while we hear this voice that says, "Mr. Beamer, you are delaying the return of the Lord. Stop it." That would be a little scary, maybe. And here's why. It says, live in such a way that we might speed or hasten. The King James says, hasten the coming of the Lord. Speed up his coming. Remove the drag off the return of the Lord. Why? Because his coming is connected to harvest. All throughout the Word of God, his coming is connected to harvest. Who controls the harvest? He's placed it into the care of the church. He's talking to Christians when he says, live in such a way that you live holy and godly lives, and you have a frame of mind you look forward to, and you speed the return of the Lord. Well, how do you do that? This is how. The number one way to speed the coming of the Lord is not to give to missionaries or not to pray for missionaries, although both of those things are vitally important. The number one way to hasten the coming of the Lord is you do your part in the local church. You bring up your gifts, your talents, your supply, your tongue, your thoughts, your talents, your time, all that coming to bear on the vision of the house. And when, think about it, when we have a great percentage of this body doing that, this church will fulfill God's dream locally. And when that happens in churches all over the world, then God's dream globally will be a result of that. So you doing your part in the local house enables us to do our part out there and enables then Jesus to do his part by returning. That's God's plan for reaching all mankind and for the return of Jesus. That's my 10-minute message on how to hasten the coming of the Lord. Amen? So let me pray. Father God, I thank you for this church, Abiding Word Church. We thank you for what you've been doing and what you are doing. What a great church filled with people that want to do their best to build your dream here in this house and from this place around the world. We thank you for your church leaders, and we believe with them, Father God, that you are accomplishing all that you need to do here so that this church can fulfill all the plans and purposes you've called them to. Help each person understand. Help them come to the leaders, and help between the leaders and them understand what it is that they need to bring, the grace that they have to bear, so that every person finds their sweet spot, every person finds their fit, so that they can do what they need to do here, so that Julie and I and others like us can do what we need to do out there, and then Jesus can come back, and we rejoice in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor.